B-Pod Studios.
Gordon Hayward.
Hayward a trail three. That is good.
You're listening to the home of the Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Tusher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5, Sports Hub.
Yes, the Mighty Mighty Boston's are a ska band. Second wave ska, yes.
What do you want?
I approve of this.
Was it Clueless?
What's that?
What was the song?
Yes,
The impression I get was in Clueless, I think.
I know, it wasn't.
Rascal King was in it?
It wasn't was the club impression that I get.
The dance there.
It was at the dance. It wasn't.
Was it the one? Hang on. Clueless movie, Lost Tones.
No. Don't tell me.
I find out.
It's the other hit. All right, turn this down because I can't think. All right, so the Rascal King impression that I get, and Where Did You Go?
Where Did You Go?
That's what they're playing during Clueless. Thank you very much. All right, Ted Johnson, you are joining us. You know him from his time with the New England Patriots and NBC Sports Boston right here on this very radio station. You were talking about it right before you came on the air, and we have given you credit for this. You have said that you thought that Rob Gronkowski probably would have kept playing if it was for another team. And here he is in the one controversial thing he said, I guess, is that he looks at the way Tom Brady is behaving and in the team in general, and that they don't have any fun. And that was one thing that he hated about the team, or that he didn't like about the team, is that after wins, they weren't allowed to enjoy them.
I think this might be it. I might be wrong, Han.
I mean, it's never good to see that.
Oh, that's not it. That's an old clip. Oh, yeah, but he was basically saying that, you know, why aren't you having any fun, Tom? I used to hate that about playing with this team, is that you're 9-1. Why are you upset? And I don't miss that at all. And it just solidifies your point that you said on the show before about him being. I mean, so you believe that that's one of the main reasons, and he confirmed it there, right?
Yeah, I've just always thought that Gronk would come back and play if it was maybe for another team. I just think he really did not have, you know, Gronk's type A. He's a type A personality. He's fun-loving kind of guy. And so that's a very difficult work environment, even when you're winning. And just remember how people freaked out about Lane Johnson saying, the offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles, saying that the Patriots don't have any fun, and it became a big story, and the fans were mad at Lane Johnson for saying that. It's like, yeah, but it's sometimes there's a lot of times it's not fun when you are winning. And I don't know why that is so hard for people to grasp. Well, they take it personal. The fans who take that very personal.
Well, they take everything personal.
They do. They do. But so here's Gronk saying it. And my jaw dropped when I was doing the pregame show for NBC Sports Boston. And when that news came down, I'm like, wait, did I see that on my Twitter line? Like, Gronk just said that it's not fun playing there, even when you're winning, just, you know, so to speak. And it. I just thought there would be a bigger kind of news item around here because of people just take that piece right there very, very, they're very sensitive about it. And I never understood that. I mean, have you seen Bill in his press conference? We all know what Bill's like. I mean, he's a curmudgeon, you know, even when you're winning. And that's by design. I get it, guys. That's part of the way Bill is. That's why you win, is because when you're winning, he wants to keep you down. Keep you humble.
Yeah.
Keep you, wanting more, never being satisfied, never looking back, always looking forward. And so that's the work environment that you have there. And Gronk, there's a long history of nickel and diming his contract, issues with injuries, mind games with Gronk, not telling him things and then doing something different. So he never really felt comfortable. And so that was his experience here at the rumors of being traded, just a lot of renegotiating his contract. Gronk, he just wasn't having fun here.
And you know what's weird too, Ted, is that it's not that the team isn't having fun. As a matter of fact, like several segments of this team are having more fun than I've seen in a long time. Bill Belichick seems to be extremely happy and even jokey at press conferences because his defense, his baby, they are killing it this season. So, you know, two Patriots or victory Mondays. He's laughing at, you know, making jokes. And then the defense, obviously, they're having a blast. They're making nicknames for themselves. And Devin McCourty's always, you know, it's only the offense with Tom Brady, and obviously because they're not performing to the level that I think he expects out of himself. But I mean, it's almost kind of a, it's almost kind of a situation where for the first time, people aren't looking at Bill for the din over the team. They're looking at Brady.
But is that fair? I mean, do you really think that Belichick in the building is allowing them to, you know, maybe revel in their wins as much as other coaches?
You know, he's probably, you know, my feeling is he's probably just really letting his defensive guys, you know, take ownership of this defense. And I, you know, my feeling is he feels like he's got a really special defense, and he's really excited about that because his hand and fingerprints are all over that.
It's him and his kid.
Right. You know, so, you know, and every year is maybe different, and you have seen, and let's you know, so that, you know, if Gronk was being honest with himself, he would say at the same time, I think that you're seeing a different Bill Belichick now than you ever have.
Yeah, okay? It's true.
You really are. And this, in the last 2 years in particular, and I've said this on this show before, it all goes back to one incident, one very big incident, one probably biggest coaching regret Belichick has ever had.
Malcolm Butler, baby.
And it changed everything, Rich. Yep. I think Malcolm Butler benching in such a public way, just, and then the criticism, he took that entire offseason, last offseason. I mean, he was getting crucified for that Malcolm Butler decision. That is being played out on a national, you know, audience. Everybody's talking about it. That's all people can talk about all offseason into the summer before the beginning of last year. And it had a huge effect psychologically on that team last year. I mean, they were sleepwalking through the first part of that season.
Right.
It was because of the Malcolm Butler benching. Bill changed, I think, a lot of changed how he coached, how he relates to people, you know, how he wants to be perceived. He went on, I think, just a campaign to really rehab his image. And so Gronk just got maybe like the very tail end of that chill Bill version that we see now. And I think it all starts, I think, with Malcolm Butler.
All right. So this past weekend, as a defensive player like yourself, when you found out the conditions were going to be as nasty as they were you licking your chops thinking this is turnover central? Mm-hmm. Or were you thinking this is going to suck? I'm standing out here in the rain, like, you know, for several hours, and it's going to just be miserable.
You know, I think part of the kind of I saw it as maybe being unfortunate because of this. Because we've been talking about what we thought the next, you know, what was the Patriots' biggest, you know, opponent maybe going to be in this 5-game stretch. And I don't think any of us really maybe saw Baltimore coming like we saw it.
No, but we
anticipated Dallas being a very good matchup. Number one offense against a number one defense, a top 10 defense, you know, going in the Dallas Cowboys, number one in third down offense against the number one third down defense. Very, just statistically speaking, very good across the board. Record wise, not so much, but just you thought, okay, here's a worthy adversary for the Patriots at a good time in this, when we weren't really sure we got with this team. I mean, they've played a lot of cupcakes, you know, you're not really. Then the elements come.
Yeah.
And then it's wet. And then it's cold. And it really kind of equalizes the game out. And so you just, there's still parts of me that's like, do we still know what we have with this team?
I'm not quite sure.
Because that offense, let's face it, those were some of the worst, probably the worst conditions I've seen in a football game in a long time.
You know, you could say that it's the equalizer, and in many ways it was. But one thing that the weather did not change is the coaching.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, the special teams, just if you looked at special teams alone,
you're absolutely
it was insanity. They missed opportunities. Just missing opportunities is one thing, and then just not being coached correctly.
We saw that a mile away, though, guys.
I know, we saw that coming a mile away.
It was so bad. How does that happen? How do you not prepare your team to be aware of what wind does to a ball?
Brady, it's amazing. I'm sitting here now that I'm 14 years removed from the game, and I'm still baffled that the coaching in this league is so bad at times.
How many good coaches are there in the league? Let's name them. Let's name the good coaches.
Okay.
Because I bet there's probably five.
Yeah, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid, Pete Carroll.
He played for Pete, right?
Yeah,
Pete?
Yeah, well, I love Pete, but not as my head coach. Not as my head coach. Pete's gotten better, okay? I think what happened, something changed at USC. He went there, and he goes to Seattle. He wasn't afraid to churn his roster. Pete was one of those guys that he was terrible at drafting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he really he went for sizzle as opposed to substance a lot of times. And so I think he's gotten a lot better at that, Joe.
I'll go Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's a great coach.
So you got four outside of Belichick. You got four.
That's basically...
Because you can't say McVay anymore because everyone thought...
Not after this year.
No way.
What do you think of
not
McDermott after this year with Buffalo? We're going to see Buffalo and Dallas tomorrow.
Why do I just hold
no,
that?
No, I know. There's no pizzazz, but that's what I mean.
I held that Nathan Peterman coach decision against them last year.
starting Nathan Peterman, who had five interceptions in the first half. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, it's not a big flashy name, but the guy, he's got to get the Bills to the playoffs.
He needs to do something more for me.
Frank Wright, maybe. You know,
I would say Tomlin. I mean, Tomlin's won a Super Bowl, and they're always there. And
yeah.
So I think he gets an incredibly bad rap, Mike Tomlin.
But, you know what? Bill Belichick really believes in winning with the margins. You know, in the margins. Like, OTAs matter. How you prepare in OTAs actually matters in November and December. Mm-hmm. You know, how you approach the entire week is really going to pay dividends in how you play on Sunday. Unlike, I think, the other major sports here, football, so much can be determined, the outcome, what you do in the time preceding up to the game.
Why do other teams not get
right,
that?
They just don't get it.
Let's break and we can get into
it. Don't get it.
We can get into more of the specifics. Ted Johnson, by the way, brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful damaged joints without surgery. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, thanks.
Oh, yeah. One of the great second wave ska songs. Yes, indeed. The Pie Tasters. Listen, they don't all have to be B-sides, baby. I'll give you this. One of the happiest, most degrading songs to women. But I never lied. Oh, by the way, intense debate between Nicholas and I about the most important song in The Clueless Dancing by the Mighty Mighty Boston's, if it's the impression that I get, or Where Did You Go? Nick came in announcing that Where Did You Go was not in the film, but it's on the soundtrack.
It's Someday, so, Somewhere.
Skibbity.
Nick's freaking out behind you right now.
So, skibbity, it's on The Clueless soundtrack. What happens is she goes in with, like, the guy, but the guy turns out to be gay, and they're, like, hanging out. And then there's a scene there, and then when the action's going down, it's Where Did You Go?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. But over here, young Nicholas, talking crap.
You see him pacing back and forth right now behind you.
That is on the soundtrack, Where Did You Go? So that's like the only Boston song on it. I've never seen Clueless.
What?
Oh,
what?
Very good movie.
What?
Very good movie.
But that was, I don't know why I would see that. It was about like teenage girls.
Have you ever seen Mean Girls? Mean Girls.
I've never seen Mean Girls.
Oh my God.
And I'm not against
it's
seeing it.
It's about holiday weekend. We've got to get you the DVDs. Yeah.
Dude, I'm not against seeing it. It's just that there was never, you guys watched like 90210. Like, that was something that I just wasn't on my radar.
But Mean Girls.
Or like Saved by the Bell. Like, I was like, why would I watch shows about like these high school kids?
Okay, well, listen.
They're clever. Both of them are clever.
Well, okay, I heard they're good movies. I heard Mean Girls is very
good. Okay, one of the reasons that you have not seen these films is because you've been with the same woman since you were 15.
No, I'm not lying. No, you're right. That I never had to have the TV night at someone's house where she wanted to watch 90210.
Well,
you're right.
That's how it all started for me was in college. It was 90210 Melrose Place, and I was infatuated with this girl who I ended up slaying.
Attaboy.
But until she left me, and then I felt bad for like 6 months. But so you would watch 90210 Melrose, and then all of a sudden, I started to go. I hated Melrose Place, but all of a sudden, I started to go, I wonder what's going to happen next week. And I started thinking about it. Now, Saved by the Bell was just on. Like, it was just on Saturday morning.
Yeah, so you and I, that's the difference, because I always have the music on, and you always have the TV on.
Constantly.
You go to a friend's house, the TV's on. Yeah, if you go to my house, music's always on.
I was raised on TV. Same way, Freddie.
TVs
are on everywhere, in every room.
Yep. It's my friend.
It is my friend, too.
It needs to be on. It can be Just Shoot Me. It can be...
The Office.
Oh, well, the office is just on Saturdays before I have to go anywhere.
Fred, it's so weird with me that if I go to a restaurant and it doesn't have music on, I'll get up and ask them to turn it on.
What?
Like, it'll be weird. So when I go to my house, if I'm in my house for more than 5 minutes,
don't hear anything,
and there's no music on, I kind of get weird. So I have to always kind of have that on.
That's fascinating. It's TV for me. Yeah. TV's got to be on. I have to turn the TV on.
So we're far too intellectual with your music. Right.
I have to have our thoughts drowned out at all times.
Listen,
all of us.
You gotta have your daughter and your watch every season of Jersey Shore twice in a row. Just rock through the seasons. All right, so we were talking about head coaching. We were talking about, you know, obviously with the Dallas game, it was embarrassing. It could be your second time watching football, and you'd at least ask questions about why certain things were happening. Like, why on a punt, why when you're punting, are you so confused that there's no one on the gunner that you have to take a delay of game instead of just snapping the ball and going, oh, hey, this guy, there's no one within 50 yards of this guy.
Am I giving you
what I would love?
What's that?
I would love to hear the private conversations Belichick has after games about the opposing team's coach.
Oh, yeah.
What a dumbass.
He loves
what Danny. A, you know, just ripping. Just I could just see him just, going off on the coaches that he has to coach against, or just the leading up to the game, as if, oh yeah, we got Garrett. This is gonna be fun. Watch this.
They've all got my beer on the over under. How long do they make that one play that completely affects the game?
But I'm serious. You know, having played the game for so long, at any level, how can something like if that happened in high school, you'd be going, what the hell? At least if it happened that many times in high school, you'd be going, what the hell? I can see getting confused by an offense. I can see, you know, things that you weren't expecting in misdirection and people exploiting your defense. Mm-hmm. I see all of that. But how can something as basic as special teams just be so poorly coached?
You're absolutely right, and I love Jerry. Jerry Jones, a national treasure. Please don't ever die and go away. Or stop talking, please, because the things he says after the game, he eviscerates his head coach.
Oh, yeah.
For the way the special teams looked. And he says that reflects on the head coach, and it absolutely does. The only thing, you know, Freddie is
I want me some glory hole.
There you go, Jerry.
Glory.
Don't ever stop talking. He's
a man or a woman. Who knows?
So true. Maybe the Cowboys they play in is where it's sunny, 72 and sunny every day, you know, in that dome there. That stadium there, excuse me, and you know the elements are never an issue, so they're not used to practicing it. Still, there's no excuse,
right?
You should. That I mean, the fact that your kickoff team doesn't realize it needs to move up because the Patriots are kicking the wind is just inexcusable. And you're right. The fact that there was nobody back there returning the punt had them bamboozled. I mean, they didn't know what was going on,
right?
And they took a penalty, and then they took another penalty. And so it really is a poor, poor reflection on the coaching. And you just knew that going in. And I hate to say it because I really like the human being that is Bill O'Brien. But here's another kind of coaching mismatch. It's just, and I covered that team for about 5 years. And you saw just there was a lot of times clock management, in-game decision, where you just kind of were like, what? And it was very hard sometimes to defend Coach O'Brien for some of the decisions he makes in-game. That will be kind of it'll rear its head probably in this game as well coming up this Sunday night.
So you, I mean, it was funny because we were talking about the Cowboys game afterwards, and I think it might have been you, Joe, who said, if I could have planned this out, I would have called exactly how this ended. There was going to be some major decision that was made by the coach that completely affects whether they win or lose the game, or at least whether it's competitive at the end. And you have to say that about Bill O'Brien. What are they? 5-0 against
Bill O'Brien.
5-0
against Bill O'Brien. But this week, O'Brien made a great call in the last game. They played last Thursday night against the Colts in a similar situation at the end of the game. Remember, Brady tried to throw the ball up in the air to kill time. Well, Deshaun Watson, a little bit more mobile, actually ran around a little bit, then threw it up in there and ended the game. But O'Brien played that right this week. Like I thought Frank Reich was going to just come back and win that game somehow, some way. O'Brien coached it well. Belichick tried to coach it well this week. He's just playing with a 43-year-old quarterback who can't move.
How great is it, Ted, that Tom Brady is so immobile that he couldn't even run backwards for 5 seconds to kill that clock.
That's true.
It was just that he checked it out. And I was like, if they ended up coming back, like let's say there was one like a miracle play, yeah. you know, and Dallas on that final play where they had a second left would have ended up winning that game, there would have been two people who would have been killed. Obviously, they probably would have killed Tom Brady. And unfortunately, there was going to be some idiots who are going to blame that poor soldier who was being like
for catching the ball.
Yeah, for touching the ball.
The ball.
A rule that nobody knew.
Yeah.
That it's when the clock stops when something touches the ball.
If a ball's coming at you, you catch it.
Yeah, of course it is, and that's what Steve Bartman. I'll even give him a leeway.
Well,
ball comes at you, you grab the ball.
He didn't affect the. All right, I don't want to get into that. I mean, you know, don't let a ball go through your electric
chair. But can the Texans do anything to the Patriots the way their offense is playing right now?
Look, that the Texas defense is meh, you know, without J.J. Watt. They you know, can that offense do something against the Patriots? Defense, you know, Deshaun's a special player. He is an unbelievable talent. He just really is. But having said that, they feast on big plays. They really do. With Will Fuller down the field, who's finally healthy. You saw the game he had against the Colts. He was unreal. And I think DeAndre Hopkins, although he's not, you know, just run past you, you know, down the field.
He's amazing.
He's a beast. I mean, just an unbelievable, tough SOB at wide receiver. Probably considered the best in the league. Having said that, I could see them struggling to put points up because the Patriots just don't give up big plays, and that's what the Texans feast on.
And Gilmore's going to have a day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's just dialed in.
Does anybody just love his whole disposition on just, how he just kind of the things he says is just cuts you down without saying a whole lot?
Well, after the game, when I mean, he's like always like, you know, super cool afterwards, yeah. Like very laid back. But the best was that he was, it could be the boogeyman, is that he was upset that he almost let Amari Cooper get that catch. Like, I mean, he was upset that he almost let it happen. And you could tell that was burning him inside because wanted to pitch a shutout.
Yeah.
He's the defensive player of the year right now, it sure seems like.
And then what did you think of the officials with the tripping calls?
That was bad.
That
was really bad.
They said that they shouldn't have called it. They told the Cowboys.
You were a defensive player, but I mean, if you're bull rushing,
did you ever see it?
I
never saw that.
The rule is like a leg whip, right?
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It was so marginal. Like, okay, maybe he lifted his leg up a little bit. It's not saying tripping, but it's just a way to maybe kind of still, it was minor, and they called. Those were two killer penalties, two killer tripping penalties. And so if you're, which they've called that play around the NFL up to this point, what, 5 times? And it was twice in one game. So if I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, I have reason to be upset. But there was an interesting point. I believe it was Jim Murray. I want to give him credit on Felger Mass, where he said, that is something that maybe Belichick saw in film and said to the officials before the game, watch the tripping or watch them use their legs as a way to kind of shield a guy. The Patriots do a ton of two-man games. And so it's that second guy that loops around where they get they can maybe trip. And so maybe Bill said to them, hey, watch for this. And so it was already in their heads when the game started. And so that's why you saw two of them called.
It's nice to know that the officials can be manipulated so easily. That just goes, hey, look for that. Okay. Call it twice in really big situations.
But Freddie, that's what Bill does. He watches all this film, and then he says, alert to this, alert to this, alert to this, before the game, so it's in their minds when they're watching the game.
All right. We will be back with more Ted Johnson. You can watch us at twitch.tv, search the Toucher and Rich Show, or you can get the Twitch app on your telephone over there.
Then you better come in. It's just ability, that reason that we're so thin. Living and dying and the stories that I've chosen.
I enjoy this video. I like this video.
I don't remember the video for this.
A guy, like a rude boy guy running around. He's got a cool car. That's basically this.
Didn't you just see, did you see Rancid? Were they at that festival that the Boston's? No.
No.
They did the Punk and Drublic tour.
Yeah, and the Punk and Drublic tour came. I don't think it ever came here.
Yeah, that's right. It split up because Bad Religion was on that tour, but they played on their own, which is it's probably the best concert I saw this year.
Yeah. Bad Religion and NOFX had something in their rider with the Warped Tour that they would not play unless Bad Religion headlined. They wouldn't play the Warped Tour unless Bad Religion was the headline.
They are one of the few bands that has gotten better as the years go on. So, Ted Johnson, people are freaking out right now about the Ravens. They are crowning Lamar Jackson as being better than Patrick Mahomes. That is something I saw a lot on Twitter yesterday. They are saying that they are going to, like, they're already in Las Vegas, the Super Bowl favorites. They have moved past the Patriots. We do not have a very big sample size, but Lamar Jackson is just fun as hell to watch.
So different, isn't he?
He is.
Just unique, a unique player.
Yep.
It's they're, look, I like that there's another team that literally looks like they can go toe-to-toe with the Patriots. I mean, they've already played them once, and that was an epic beatdown. Mm-hmm. That was an embarrassing way to lose. However, I chalk that up more as a one-off. I think if they played again, I think it would still be a very good game, and it'd be a very difficult game to call. I would be worried. The one thing about the Patriots that they do have in their favor is that they've already played the Ravens, so they know what to expect. They were not ready for the speed in which the Ravens played on offense.
Yeah.
And it's such a unique offense, very different, unlike anything you'll see all season long. And so I remember, if you remember a few weeks ago after that game, they were like, well, you got Dak Prescott who can run. You got Carson Wentz who can run. You got Deshaun Watson who can run. You got Patrick Mahomes who can run. Watch, they're going to start implementing elements of that Baltimore offense into their offense, so because they saw the Patriots have such a difficult time with it. No. You that offense, you cannot – nobody can do what Lamar Jackson can do. Yeah. None of these quarterbacks I just mentioned can do anything close to what the Lamar Jackson can do. And that offense, they rep it over and over and over and over again, so that it's so – timed up, and so they executed so perfectly that other teams can't duplicate what they're doing. So that is a legit obstacle for the New England Patriots. If they have to play the Ravens again, I would have a very difficult time picking the Patriots with any kind of confidence, because it's just an offense. You don't see that often. However, the one thing the Patriots have is they've played it. They weren't ready for the speed. The outside linebackers didn't know which end was up.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of yards to be had on the outside. They'll have a better game plan for it. But can they match physicality with physicality? I'm not so sure. And what that defense, it was a question mark for the Baltimore Ravens. All it's doing, you beat the Patriots like you did. There's talk. There's people say, well, they're going to have a letdown. After you beat the Patriots, there's a natural. Are you kidding me? Do you know what that win against the Patriots does for a young team like Baltimore, at least on offense?
Yeah.
It gives you so much confidence that you can beat anybody. And they've destroyed people ever since they beat the Patriots. I mean, you saw what they did to the Rams. Utter beatdown.
And the thing that scares me the most about those guys is, unlike, as you mentioned, the Texans or the Cowboys, they got a coach that's not afraid of Bill Belichick.
Love him.
I mean, it's like matter of fact, more than any other coach in this league, that dude can come into Foxborough and not be shaken. And that's a rare thing. I mean, you want to talk about two ends of the spectrum. You got on this end Harbaugh, and on this end you got Bill O'Brien. One is locked into the moment and doesn't lose his mind, and the other one absolutely soils himself the second he gets off the bus.
It's funny. You know, you talk about soiling yourself. You remember? Do you remember the pregame? Was it the NFL Films they showed at the Super Bowl last year? Sean McVay and Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
at midfield.
And McVay's like, "I love you, sir. You're my idol."
So the next day I come in. I get to do the Monday show for midday with Adam Jones, and Adam and I were talking about just that interaction between Bill Belichick and Sean McVay before the Super Bowl. And we're like, we both laughed. We're like, game's over.
Yeah.
Like, the game is over.
That was great.
Before it even started. So the point is, John Harbaugh is not going to be like that with Belichick. It's built into their DNA, at least with the Baltimore Ravens, that they don't give a bleep about the Patriots. All that comes with, you know, playing the Patriots, they don't care.
Yeah.
All right. So we will take a break, and when we come back, we can take your call, 617-779-0985. So you're in South Central Los Angeles. It's like 1992, and you're sitting around, and you're talking about the TV, and you're like, what's your you like Tim Conway? And everyone's like, yeah, I like Tim Conway. He's great. You know, Dorf.
And they go, oh, you like Dorf, do you? And he goes, yeah, Dorf on golf. Funny, he's on his knees. And then you go, well, you like Dorf on golf, or do you like Mama's Family? What thing do you like, South Central L.A. Gangster? Do you like Mama's Family, or do you like Dorf on golf? Guy goes, Mahomes.
Oh, man, we're back with those jokes. I had a bunch of them, too, and I forgot them.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
And that's why he got his name.
To Dorf on golf. Oh, is it a long way
so
to get there?
Where is he going with this?
His family, they were just having a conversation about Tim Conway.
No, you see.
I thought this was a lead-in to a live read.
No. It's a very long setup joke that involves 70s or 80s television and ends with a person who plays in the NFL's name as a punchline.
Yes.
Those are the rules.
And they're always funny. And then, like, the one where you're like,
are they?
Hey, man. No, you're like, so the guy's like back there in the 90s, he's talking to this guy. He goes, hey, have you seen Philadelphia? And the guy's like, yeah, it's sad, man. It's a true story, man.
All right.
Baudelaire, come on.
Okay, yes, yes, yes.
Tom Hanks was great. Get
him. Sounds like Cheech.
All right. We will return.
Jerry Rabish.
Is this the Scottolites? Scottolites?
I think this is the Scottolites, right?
No, this is
the Maytals. Isn't this? The Maytals. Toots and the Maytals.
Yeah, this is Fresh Crumb, yeah. The version by the Specials of this song, I think it's the Specials, is better than this version. All right, so this has to be discussed. So, okay, Facebook Live, Felger does them after the show, whatever. And I won't make another bad joke about quarterbacks, even though what I said was hysterical. So Felger, and then Felger, like, takes his shirt off at Pearl Jam concerts and dances around. Or he doesn't take his shirt off. His friend that was a collegiate swimmer does, because he's got a rockin' bod. And Felger loves Pearl Jam, like, plays glorified G going and everything. I mean, he lets loose. Like, that's his happy place. We've talked to him about it on the air. Like,
yeah.
He loves Pearl Jam. Guess what band he was unaware of?
I think I might have heard it during the break.
You did hear it.
Mother Love Bone?
He is a guy that will drop like a grand on a Pearl Jam ticket, uses glorified G, going in four times a day.
And didn't know the history of Pearl Jam.
It's not like he had to go back to his high school band. It's Mother Love Bone. They were on a major label. Mm-hmm. The whole point was Andrew Wood died.
So what does he think Temple of the Dog is?
Yeah, what does he think?
He likes Temple of the Dog.
Okay, but what do they think?
What does he think it is? That's a benefit.
Has he read any liner note ever?
We got into an argument about bands. We got into an
Here
argument
comes
about bands.
Some sports
he doesn't
takes,
like Nirvana. Because,
really hot sports takes.
He doesn't like Nirvana because
you.
The lead singer is no longer with them.
All right,
so
fine.
I mentioned that. He mentioned that he likes longevity. So I start bringing up other bands. I mentioned John Lennon, whatever. And like Mother Love Bone, the lead singer died. But yet he loves Pearl Jam. Like that's where
we're going
with this.
No, but he didn't know who Mother Love Bone was.
Yes, but he tries to say that he hates bands that the lead singer died.
I don't care.
That Pearl Jam is here because of Mother Love Bone.
And Mother Love Bone, like I had the Mother Love Bone record and it was on a major label. Like, it got airplay. Like, that Chloe Dancer song got airplay.
Chloe, don't know better.
I love Mother Love Bone.
I think he might have known who they were. He never said that he didn't know them.
Chloe is just like me. Only beautiful.
My whole beef is
it's on the single soundtrack.
And the single soundtrack is excellent. That is the second worst song on it. The Battle Forevermore by the Heart Sisters. That's the worst one.
I don't even remember. I've skipped that one.
Because every other song on there is excellent.
Oh, see.
Anyways, Felger hates bands, but lead singers are dead.
I don't know.
And he didn't know that that's how it
He hates
originated.
Bands with lead singers that are dead.
Yeah, he hated Nirvana. He hated Nirvana. And so I ended up going back to the Beatles.
Is he saying that Kurt Cobain killed himself at too young of an age?
Yes.
Oh, and that didn't give them the longevity?
Yes. All right. And then I...
Then how does he justify his love of the Motels? They were not around forever.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the Felger and Maz show, James Stewart just tweeted, Happy boo the F out of the ghost of Kyrie Irving game day. Coward couldn't be bothered to come to Boston to take his booing like a man.
Yeah, apparently Jay Stu's no fan of that. Like, he was really looking forward to booing
Kyrie Irving. I was too, and I love that Jay Stu's all in on this. You know, God bless him. And it does suck, and he is being a coward, but I mean, I don't think that's the...
Coward.
Kemba Walker is going to play tonight with a broken freaking neck. Meanwhile, Kyrie's missing tonight's game, faking a shoulder injury, all caps. Coward!
It's like Tito Santana when he was afraid to take on Don Morocco in a cage match.
You got to give it up to the NBA, though, for anticipating the storylines and scheduling, you know, Thanksgiving Day game against the Nets, Kyrie Irving coming back in town. And then he's, you know, has to screw us all by having this fake shoulder injury.
I can't think
but
of
But I like
sport.
That the NBA was at least trying to set up some a big game based on the storylines in the offseason.
Ted, think of that crowd, the Wednesday night of Thanksgiving week, which is amateur night. Everyone's going out drinking with their buddies. If you were lucky enough to have a ticket to that game at the TD Garden and you knew Kyrie's going to be out there, I mean, that is a feel-good moment for the city of Boston, and you are going to get loaded and have a great time. And then, of course, he spoils it for all of us. Yeah. And I wonder if he's even going to play because it's a home-and-home. And on Friday, the Celtics go over to Brooklyn, and they play them. It's a noon game, which is weird on Black Friday. I don't get that.
Well,
but...
no, that's you know, teams do that. It used to be the Bruins then the Celtics, remember?
Mm.
And now, now
that was a great day. People used to go to both games back.
Oh yeah, double dip.
And now I just go to the Flyers game and pay $500 for my family to go to a game I could care less about, just so I can leave my father-in-law's house. 4 o'clock game. We better get out of here at 12:30. You got to beat the traffic. All right, Ted. So despite Deshaun Watson and all of that, you covered obviously the Texans when you're down there in Houston for quite a while. You know the team. You think Bill O'Brien is that will never happen.
I think it's going to be tough. I mean, it's Bill Belichick just seems to have his number. And you know, it's weird. Like, I feel like there should be a major that it needs to, they need to develop a major for what Ernie does for Bill Belichick. Like, whatever that job Ernie has, which is basically coming up with odds and giving suggestions to Bill about what the options are in critical situations and clock management, there should be, like, a profession for that. Because Bill O'Brien needs somebody like Ernie on his staff.
He's going to get him next year with Nick Caserio.
Maybe. because in-game decisions are just not his forte. And so... there's just a lot of times clock management issues. It creeps up all the time with Bill O'Brien. Not that I even think the game's going to be close for that, where clock management is going to be a major issue, but you've just seen time and time again Coach O'Brien have difficult times with in-game decisions, clock management, calling timeouts when he shouldn't be, running the wrong, you know, plays that he had no business running in critical times that cost him games. So it just... I hate to say it, but Belichick is just, he owns him.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love when you talk about Ernie Adams, because not many people know anything about, considering.
Oh, it's a fascinating story to me. Like, what he does, where he's from,
where he lives,
the car
like
he drives. the 1986 Volvo. I don't know if he's still driving that.
If you turn on the lights, he scampers away.
Oh, and we've talked about it. It is the most awkward, you know, there's a lot of long halls in the Gillette. And you see him at the end of the hall, and it's just you and Ernie Adams. And here we go. We're walking towards each other. Here we go. We're going to pass each other. Is he going to look up? Is he going to say anything? No, never. head down. Kind of, he looks up, and then he looks right back down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always see him by himself walking or talking to Bill Belichick. You wonder... I don't know what he sounds like. I couldn't recognize his voice. I have no idea what his voice sounds
like. You've gone to, like, Super Bowl dinners with the guy.
Tons of.
You've never talked, like, you don't know what he sounds
like? He's, like, in the shadows. He's there, but he's not there. He's all around us, but he's not.
Parcells said he didn't know what he did.
He was on his staff.
The thing, it's got to be crazy. It's almost like, you know, a robot from the, like, an evil robot from the future. You know it's sitting and analyzing you and finding your weakness, and it's constantly thinking, judging. Staring.
How much do you think he makes?
Debt. Oh, yeah.
Do you think he makes like a lot of money, or is he one of these guys that doesn't like even care?
Doesn't care. He probably drives a a hybrid car, and he probably doesn't have a big house. I bet you Bill takes care of him.
But I bet you he like socks it all away, puts it in jars and buries it in the backyard somewhere.
And he just lives in a room with urine jars everywhere.
I just think of him as Milton from Office Space. Like he sits in that office and when everyone leaves, he just shuts down. And then when they come back in, they turn the light on and he's just there.
Yeah, I just see him scampering off. There's a, you don't like that.
There's a famous quote from Art Modell. I'll pay anybody $10,000 if they can tell me what Ernie Adams does.
But I think that's Bill's secret weapon. Modell's,
yeah, so. He really knows where the bodies are buried. He's the one guy he trusts.
I told you this before, critical situations, any game, it's fourth down and we got, what do we do here? Do we punt? Do we go for it? And I've heard Bill say, everybody shut the F up. Ernie, go. Basically, I want your opinion right now. Everyone else's opinion doesn't matter right now. So he thinks, obviously, very, very highly. They're very close friends. And so hopefully someday somebody will write a book on exactly what it is Ernie Adams does for Bill.
Or Bob. A manifesto that right? Ernie Adams has put together. Ted Johnson has been brought to you this morning by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful, damaged joints without surgery. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your Black Friday with your plants with your daughter.
You got it, buddy. You guys have a great Thanksgiving,
you
boys.
You too. And we appreciate it. No commercials here, just the headlines. Then we're headed to court.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.